The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
4 years, the best podcasters from around the world have gathered to review, reminisce, and riff on popular franchises. They've assembled the Earth's mightiest superheroes, traveled to a galaxy far, far away, drank many martinis, shaken, not stirred, witnessed the battle of the Alpha Titan, defended Earthrealm from Outworld.
Get over here!
Busted their fair share of ghosts. Unplugged from the Matrix.
I know Kung Fu.
Kept a watchful eye on Gotham City. Discovered the secrets of Jurassic Park and other audio adventures. But there were some movies that didn't make the cut. From the creators of Podcasters Assemble comes a movie hype series hosted by a motley crew of talent. Podcasters Disassemble. Podcasters Assemble is a production of the We Can Make This Work, Probably, Podcast Network.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the RPG Years, your one-stop shop for all things floating upside down and having to walk around backwards. Yes, hello everybody, and welcome to the RPG Years podcast. I am your British host, Bill, speaking the Queen's Anglosh.
And I'm Frost.
Who is of no particular destination. And yes, we are here today to discuss with you all the lovely, lovely part. Is this part three or part four of Legend of Dagoon? I'm getting lost now.
Segment four.
Segment four of Legend of Dagoon. Yes. Which I believe was, I think we're going to be starting at the Valley of Corrupted Gravity and ending at the Phantom Ship.
Correct.
And yeah, so I've got two things to announce, Frost.
Okay.
Number one, it's my birthday today.
All right.
So yeah, so as a present, I'm giving you the podcast.
All right, yeah.
No, of course not. Yes, but it is my birthday today. I'm just shy of 40.
Just shy of 40, okay.
Just shy of 40. So I'm still feel like an old man. Beard's going grey. All that good stuff.
My birthday's next week, so there we go.
Ooh. Oh, we're nearly birthday friends.
Yeah.
Oh, birthday buddies.
I'll be well past 40, but it's fine.
Yes, 41. Well past.
42.
42.
Yeah.
And my second announcement, other than birthday noises, is I didn't finish this segment.
Oh, all right.
I really tried.
Did you get to the ghost ship?
Almost. I feel like I'm right there. I'm on Queen's Fury.
Okay.
And like, yeah. I'm doing this whole thing where I have to walk around as every individual character by the looks of it.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about it when you get there.
Okay. I'm currently walking around as Rose before I had to stop last night.
Okay.
But I'm trying. And it's going to make it very difficult to finish the Golden Sun segment.
Oh, geez. Speaking of which.
Speaking of which, Goldfrost, take it away.
Yeah, the RPG Club is currently going on, and our current segment is to... we're playing Golden Sun, and the first segment here, we're supposed to finish the Mercury Lighthouse in 3 days' time from when we're recording. So it's, I think it's the 17th? St. Paddy's Day?
Yes!
Yeah, yes. So you have 3 days, you get about 8 hours. You'll find the time.
You said 5 hours with 4x speed?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's 20 hours.
No,
it's
no.
It goes pretty quick.
It's a 20-hour game, according to how long to beat. I have started the game, but like I don't think I've even finished like the prologue opening bit. Like, there looks like there's a boulder that's about to fall down on the town, and there were some like women holding it back, and then that's about where I stopped playing.
Okay, so you haven't finished the prologue, all right?
No, I haven't finished the prologue. Okay. Seems like a bad idea to have a town sitting underneath a giant boulder, but
there's a good reason for that.
Oh, is it? Was it nice and shady? Is it too hot under the golden sun? Hey! Look at that! See, all right,
there you go.
Pushing 40, getting the puns in, getting good at those puns. but yeah, I'll have to see how I go. You know what I'm like. I don't like to play the next segment of the game until we've recorded talking about it, said it a billion times. So yeah, because we got a little bit behind with the Legend of the Goon episodes, I was late with Legend of the Goon getting to this bit, and now because of that, I'm now late with Golden Sun. But hopefully I'll catch up, and then I can play East 4 instead. fun times, Frost. Fun times. But yeah. Let's talk about the real important stuff, though. How is your journey through the rebirth of life going?
It's really fun. It's still great. I just met Yuffie. I like the way they. Yep. I like the way they. So before, you know, if you're familiar, I assume most of our listeners are familiar with the original game. But you meet
spoilers,
Yuffie.
If not.
Yeah, Yuffie is is actually an optional character. Although I don't. No, I mean, it's pretty hard to miss her if you're walking around in the woods, but you meet her in the woods. You missed her the first time?
I think possibly the first two times I played the game. Like, I might have encountered her in the woods and beaten her, but I would never have got through the question segment without knowing the answers. So, yeah, I think I may have, like, the first two times playing Final Fantasy VII was just, like, just never got her. Like, I think I got Vincent the first time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was kind of one of those things where it's just like, then someone showed me the big Prima guide, and then it was just like, oh, there's extra characters, time for my third replay within the first year of playing the game.
Yeah. Anyway, she's mandatory now, so
good.
And I like the way I like the change they made. You get her in Lower Junon. So Junon. So
not in the forest outside.
Yeah.
Oh, I was hoping there'd be some sort of a mini game in the woods.
But yeah, so far so good.
How's the story though? Is it still sort of leaning into Nomura-ness?
The quote unquote problem is I've spent like 18 hours playing and I'm still in Lower Junon. Like, I haven't gone anywhere because I've been doing all the side stuff and playing card games and I'm about to. Basically, we're following the black-robed people is the only story we have. There's not much going on at this point.
Okay. So all the craziness that happened at the end of Remake is just like swept aside. Okay, we're going to follow some people in black coats.
I think JS in the Discord today was like, the end of Chapter 9 was crazy. And I'm like, okay, I can't wait to get there in 7 more weeks or whenever I have time to play. But I still have to play Star Tropics.
Yep, good old Star Tropics. I've got no updates on Star Tropics. I haven't done Chapter 5 yet. So.
Okay.
But yeah, Star Tropics is a game we're playing for another podcast that myself and Frost are heavily involved with, the Super Switch Club, which if you haven't heard is basically a podcast where we spend days and days and days of our life locked in a basement editing people's comments together.
It's a crowdsourced podcast, basically.
It is. It's good fun. But we're playing Star Tropics at the moment, which I'm really enjoying. I don't think anyone else is. No, Skelly's enjoying it, isn't he?
Yeah, so having just edited the section, there's like 3 or 4 out of the 18 people who submitted said Chapter 3 was a good time. So we'll
18 people submitted.
Yes, we have a lot of submissions for, but I think Troy's dropping off. I'm gonna stop submitting probably. Just I don't need to.
Wow.
But yeah, and so I think we had 3 more drop off, so we're down to probably have like 15 or something on the next one.
That's crazy. There's so many people.
Oh yeah, by the time we had like 4 people finish Echo the Dolphin. It's like
yes. Yes, I'll kiss my finger and wave it at the sky. Yeah. I finished Echo the Dolphin. I am a god gamer. Also, if you can jump over the snakes in Star Tropics, you are a god gamer too, just like me. Anyway, enough of that. Star Tropics is fun. If you like Zelda-like games, but with but where the devs like to troll you by kicking you out of dungeons.
Yes, there's a lot of that. And there's terrible... The controls are pretty bad, but...
No, buttery smooth.
No.
Wonderful controls.
No, bad. Okay. Anyway.
Should we
do some news before we get into Legend of Dragoon?
News? Yeah, sure. Why not? Cue the news jingle. Cue the British guy. I don't know.
I forgot what the news sounds like.
It's like the Chrono Cross soundtrack in the background.
The first town,
the guy
right?
Going, "Hear ye, hear ye." Yeah. I don't know who that guy is. Someone Scott knows who also speaks English.
Hear ye, gather round for all your news. Stop your clatter and listen close. Alas, you won't believe your ears. Listen close for the news.
Yeah, I think he's from, is it the guy from, is it Mark? From his Twitch streaming stuff?
I have.
It might be Mark.
Weimark?
Yeah, Weimark. Yeah. Yeah, I think it might be him. Just so you can put some text boxes to the notes. To the sound. Oh, I'm going crazy. Anyway, for people who don't know, so Scott used to be a host of the show. He's got his own Twitch now that he's abandoned us for. And yeah, one of the guys on there was the guy who did the news jingle noises. It isn't me, in case you've all wondered. I know he's got a British accent, but I'm not every single British person. All right, let's get into the news. Go on, Frost. You start us off.
All right. Real quick, because there's not a lot of info on this. The Bravely team has basically confirmed that they're in development of a new game, and that's all we know. But there's supposed to be an announcement this year for something.
Maybe so one day I'll get past the demo of Bravely Default 2.
Well, Disa spent the prologue. I think she spent 99 hours in or something. It was. I wonder if she's even beaten it.
That's the problem I was at. I got the demo, I got the demo for the prologue or whatever it was, Bravely Default 2. I played an hour of it or two, and then I bought the game, and the game has not been taken out of its cellophane wrapping yet. So I've got the game physically, and I've not opened it because I haven't got past the demo.
Yeah. I would nominate it for the club, but it's took me close to 70 hours on the first playthrough. So
I don't fancy that. I think I've got triangle strategies in the same situation as well, where I haven't got past the demo and it's just sitting in its cellophane wrapping. Okay, cool. New Bravely to look forward to, possibly. Next up, we've got Katase, who is he comments on a potential Chrono Trigger remake. I'm not feeling it, Frost. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think so. Maybe a remaster, like a modern.
I think a remaster, or maybe they'll release it on like, they'll polish it up and put it on the Nintendo Online library thing. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
Super Switch Club, Chrono Trigger, no.
I think I made a deal with Eric that we wouldn't play any games that we've already played on other podcasts related to the network.
Oh, we'll see.
Just to let you know,
the proletariat might uprise and vote anyway.
No, Don't take me to Room 101. I don't want to go there.
Trails of Daybreak is releasing in July. Is that? I assume that's a new Trails game.
Yes, indeed. Which one's Trails?
Trails is not Tails.
No, Trails is Legend of... there is...
Trails is Famicom.
Falcom.
Falcom. Yeah.
Neon Falcom. So I think the same people make Yeast, is it? Yeast?
Sounds right.
Yeah. No, it's Hudsoft. I don't know. No, they would publish it. Yeah, same people make Yeast. But there's one of the games, I think, is it Trails in the Sky? That's the one I'm desperate to play that game at some point. I really want to play the Trails in the Sky game.
I know Rich played a lot of Trails games, or at least he said he played a lot of Trails games. I don't know if he finished any of them.
I think he started a lot of Trails games. I've started a lot of Trails games. They seem awesome, but I've just never had the time to get through them all. But, maybe one day. But yes, anyway, the Trails games are generally considered good. I think this is kind of like the first spin-off after Trails of Cold Steel.
Okay.
So look forward to that. There's going to be a whole new arc, I believe. The Answer DLC is coming to Persona 3 Reload in September 2024. Who couldn't see that coming from a mile away? When they announced that it wasn't going to be in the actual game during the remake. Right.
And I think the people are a little upset that they're going to have to pay for it.
Oh, they're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, and I think I read that if you're on Game Pass, it'll get updated, but if you bought the game, you're going to have to pay for the DLC, and now all of a sudden the Persona 3 remake is going to be $70-something by the time you pay for it.
Man, that is brutal. Well,
but we'll see.
Well, well done to Atlus. They're finally learning from the Square Enix model of milking your gamers, milking your fans for every single penny they have. You're doing good, Atlus. Doing good. Yeah. You were supposed to save us, Atlus. Not join them.
let's skip over that. Let's talk about Unicorn Overlord.
You sure?
Yeah.
I want to talk about lots of work done in... FFR 7 Part 3, okay. Whatever it's called.
I didn't read any of this. This could be hearsay.
I think one of the developers said it. First of all, have they actually got a name for Part 3 yet?
No, and it can't be Reunion, unfortunately. They should have saved that. But
I think Reunion makes more sense for the prequel game.
I guess.
So if we've got Rebirth, so Reimagining? Retcon. Oh my god, that would be amazing. the retconning.
Yeah. Final Fantasy VII retconning.
The Final Fantasy VII Part 3. the re-reckoning. The re-retconning.
I know a lot of people online are pushing for Revengeance, but we'll see.
No, it's got to be something to be like... with, something, making something anew, but with the word re in front of it. There can't be too many things left.
No.
Remake? Rebirth? Revitalize? No. Relift?
We live? I don't know.
We die. Not...
Anyway, the director, Hamaguchi, says that a lot of work on Part 3 is done, but there's a big challenge implementing world travel in the Highwind. So we're getting an airship, apparently.
That's going to be absolutely amazing.
That's the big news, is we're getting an airship, and they don't want to do the FF10, I think. They don't want to do just the point-and-click airship.
Yeah, we had that in FF10, we had it in FF12, It's just, they've got to go, I can't imagine how they're going to do it. But I'm very excited about the prospect of having a Highwind flying around in that kind of scale of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, the Regalia in 15 worked okay, but that was like a DLC patch that they gave it wings. So,
I never managed to get it. Do all those side quests with Cindy to get it to the point where it'd fly. So, I don't know how that worked. But again, Final Fantasy 15 seems quite small in comparison to what they've done with 7 Rebirth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the 15 map's pretty big, but not like this. This is all zones. Like, Rebirth is all zones, so you have to zone in and out of, like, gigantic areas. Hopefully, I don't know if you can hear my cat, but if you can, that's my cat. You need to go away. Be quiet.
All right. That was Frosty's pussy. So.
All right. Anyway, Unicorn Overlord reviews have been good. We were talking about that in the pre-show. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, you get to hear Bill gloat about his game score or whatever it is.
Yes, I'm currently winning. Oh, I'm currently predicted to win the game draft over on the First Encounter podcast. So if you happen to listen to the First Encounter podcast, just so you know, I'm whooping everyone's butts at the moment, which is great. Seeing I think I've come last 2 years in a row. So, yeah, sadly, I didn't pick a Unicorn Overlord. Ben from Dagoon Effect has it. But, yes, game looks really good, though. I think it got an 87 on Metacritic.
I'm not sure. I haven't really been paying attention to it. I've been a little busy, so.
Psh. Psh. No such thing as busy.
Toyota's making a Pokemon motorcycle. I don't know what that means. See thread.
No, don't look at it. It looks awful.
Oh no. They are
I
not.
Told you not to look, Frost. Oh god. It's just like it doesn't even
stop
look like
trying
a Pokemon.
To make the awful Scarlet and Violet motorcycles happen. They're not a thing. Stop trying to rationalize them.
That doesn't even look like a Pokemon to me. That just looks like a weird it looks more Digimon.
Yeah, and well, did you never, I assume you didn't play Scarlet and Violet, or did you see any of the stuff?
I consider myself a diehard Pokemon fan who's only played Pokemon Blue and Yellow.
Okay.
The true Pokemon, where ghosts are completely ineffective. Or is it psychics who are ineffective? I don't know, one or two. But yeah, that looks terrible. Looks more like a Power Ranger.
Well, it's the thing is that there were two motorcycles. Like they were the bikes in this new one, and one they both have like feet, and one of them doesn't even use the wheels. It just like runs, and it's just very awkward. So
dreadful. Yeah, I remember watching. I think I watched Scott play some of Sword and Shield on his Twitch, and was just like, my God, these games just look so bad. Like, I appreciate they're probably fun and people do enjoy them, but. I'm just so, every time I see a new Pokemon game, I'm just so disappointed in the quality of it.
Yeah,
I think Arceus kind of looked all right. But at the same time, when you consider what games like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom look like, and could you imagine just shoving Pokemon into that sandbox and then having to go around and catch them? That'd be amazing. But anyway, one day the Pokemon Company will actually put some effort into one of their games.
Well, and everyone's like, "Hey, Pal World, is anyone still playing Pal World?" I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, but it made a lot of money, so well done to the developers of Pal World.
And unfortunately, let's mention
Paper Mario first.
Oh, okay, sure.
So the Paper Mario 1000 Year Door remake is going to release on the 24th. 3rd of April.
That's May. Yes.
Oh, sorry. My brain just freezes when I'm reading American dates. Sorry. Yes, so the 23rd of May will be the release for Paper Mario, 1000 Year Door. You excited for that, Frost?
I sort of am. I would be if I had more time.
Have you played it before?
No, I have. I've played the Mario RPG a little bit, but I have not played 1000 Year Door.
Cool. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm not insane, but I've never played any of the Mario RPGs, so maybe one day. Okay, then over to the real big news, the sad news. I'll let you break it, Frost. I'm too upset.
Break the news. Unfortunately, Dragon Ball artist Akira Toriyama has passed away as of last week. And I know there's a lot of public I'm trying to find the right word, but there's been a lot of very upset outcry. People because
no, not outcry.
Yeah, I was thinking outcry too, and I'm like, that's not the word I'm looking for. No. It's like, how dare he die? No.
Yeah. Why? I that's how I feel. How dare you die, Toriyama? You were just getting out some new Dragon Ball Super arcs. Come on, man. I'm very gutted. Toriyama is kind of one of the people with his works that led me down down one of the down the route in my life, which led me to things like anime and yeah, computer games as well. Really getting into this sort of style of Japanese gaming, and yeah, he's a sore loss to the community. I was gutted when I heard that he died.
Hmm. Yeah, but I only really ever, the only stuff I ever really did, I watched Dragon Ball Z and I played Chrono Trigger, but I didn't really have that. I didn't really partake in a lot of his other stuff. So, but
I got really into Dragon Ball. So I watched like Dragon Ball Z. Back in the early days of the internet, I managed to find on some forum somewhere where someone had like written out the story of Dragon Ball, because it was impossible to get hold of like any video footage of it. I think this was before YouTube. So I printed off this like 30-page story of Dragon Ball. And it was all in like really small print. And then I sat and read the entire thing from back to front. and I just absolutely loved it. And then, yeah, I watched all of Dragon Ball GT. And then, yeah, later, more recently, getting into Dragon Ball Super, which I loved Dragon Ball Super just because of the... do you remember the American film that came out of Dragon Ball?
I remember it not being very well received.
Oh, it was so bad. And Toriyama saw it, and then that was what gave him that's what gave him the thing to be like, oh my god, this can't be like the end of my legacy. Yeah. And that's what made him come back to make Dragon Ball Super.
Jeez.
He was like, this film is so bad, I'm going to come back so that this isn't what people remember about Dragon Ball. And yeah, Dragon Ball Super has been really good, some of it. you know, but yeah, I just, yeah, pour one out for our boy Toriyama. He'll be sorely missed.
Yes.
Did we talk about Legends of the Crystal getting a HD remix?
Oh, you know what? We did not. I think
I accidentally just scrolled up and saw that. I was just like, "What? Did I miss this?"
Yeah, so Final Fantasy V Legend of the Crystal anime is getting a re-release?
Yeah, HD re-release. Wow.
Now I can finally watch it.
It's just impossible to watch that. Have you never seen it?
No, I'm still waiting to watch it so I can listen to your commentaries that you posted on the Patreon 2 years ago, or whatever it was.
Yeah, okay. I'll make a promise now to the listeners. When Final Fantasy... So just for reference, in case you don't know, Final Fantasy Legends of the Crystals was a four-part like OVA anime type thing, which was a sequel to Final Fantasy V. So it takes place like 100 years or something after the events of Final Fantasy V. Yeah, I really like it. I think it's pretty good. Some of it's a bit questionable in tastes these days. There's a bit of upskirt stuff and crystals going in certain places. But but yeah, I'll make a promise now to all the listeners. When that releases and it gets a HD release and it's out officially, I will release the Scott and Bill audio commentaries out to the wild. That's my promise to you, listeners. Look forward to that.
Lucky us.
Lucky you. Yeah, I can't believe how lucky you all are. All right, then, Frost. Should we talk about Legends of the Goon? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, we are, and we'll be doing that for the foreseeable future. June. We'll be free.
June or Dune? June. I haven't seen June yet.
June, yeah.
Well, I haven't seen Dune 2.
I haven't seen Dune 1.
Oh, it's so good. So good. I'm hoping to see June 2 in like 2 weeks. So, don't spoil it. Anyway, yeah, Legends of Goon. Cue music.
Welcome to the VIP lounge. You gotta be level 99 to get in here, baby. No underlevel scrubs. So, why don't you go ahead and order yourself one of our finest elixirs, and one of our beautiful bunny girls will show you to your table. Kick back, relax. It's time for the RPG Club.
Yes, everybody, and so we are here to talk about Legend of Dagoon. I think I've already mentioned I did not complete this segment, so Frost, take it away for the next hour.
So we last left off after the banquet, where we were pretty sure that Princess Emile was not Princess Emile.
Yes, and I'm still pretty sure that she's not Princess Emile.
Well, I think you should have found that out. I think you got that far. Anyway.
I did.
We got our pass from the king to enter the Valley of Corrupted Gravity. And we walk there.
So we can rescue Lin. We have to walk over the mountains, through deserts. I have to say, I'm so sick of having to walk through that...
little barren that area.
The barren area. Oh my God, the amount of times I've had to walk through the barren area is just getting ridiculous now. Like, they need to open up routes around areas. It's so infuriating.
So we need to go through the Valley of Corrupted Gravity. We're looking for Lin, who's, and also our Dragon Ball, which was taken by the Genrich Gang.
And was it four star ball?
And we, let's see, you go in, and once you show the pass to the guards, they open these like gigantic doors. And at first I was like, oh, this place looks really cool, because it's sort of like purpley, and this, you can kind of just see in the
from the pre-rendered from the outside, it looked really cool. It looked like it was going to be all sort of like lightning, like I say, lovely purple colors. And then you walk into it and everything's gray.
Yeah, it totally sucks.
I know. It's like, oh, wow, this is like the most depressing. This is more depressing than the Barrens. And I keep having to walk through the fucking Barrens.
Yeah. So it took me a while to figure out that you could. So the gimmick to this is that it's sort of like a mazy thing where the gravity doesn't really act normally. And so there's places where you can basically jump over floating stones, and there's these stones that are moving back and forth. You have to jump on them like conveyor belts, and you know, you get moved to a different area. But it took me a while to realize that there were places where you could flip upside down and reverse the gravity.
Yes.
And so it's very puzzly in that sense.
Yeah, because the first time I realized there was a bit where you could go upside down, it put me onto a rock, which then would take me up to another screen, but then wouldn't connect with anything and come back down. And then where you're upside down, the controls are like flipped. And it was just like I kept pushing the wrong button and ending up back on the rock and having to go up and down again. I probably did it like three or four times, and I was feeling like such an idiot. It's like, oh no, I've done it again. I've gone up and down. This is dreadful. And it was very confusing and mildly frustrating. But did you pick up the speed up item when you was on your way around?
I did. I got that. I think I got almost everything that was there. I got the speed up in the, I think there was a sachet.
I got the sachet, and I think there was like a helmet or something that I missed, but I got it on my way back, if that makes sense. Because on the way back, I was just as confused, and I managed to find a new area, which I hadn't been to. Well, not a new area, but I managed to get, I found a different route through, because I couldn't remember the route I'd taken.
You have to walk back through. There's no teleport or anything.
Yes. Yes, again, one of this game's slight failings. Because, yeah, I've realized that. Now, one of the things that, again, I don't want to be the person who just always bangs on about how good Final Fantasy VII is, but one of the things that they do well in pretty much all the Final Fantasy games is that thing where you don't have to go back through areas. Like, you can if you want to, and you can revisit areas if you need to. But the idea of, like, you know, once you've, say, gone from the Chocobo farm, and then you go through the ice cave to come out into the Junon area, like, the game doesn't then make you go back to the Chocobo farm to get something that's required to carry on.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? You carry on with the game, always going forward. Like, once you get to Gold Saucer, you don't always have to go through... you don't always have to come from Costa del Sol and have to go through the train tracks to get to the town, to get to the thing to go up. You can just go straight up through the town, because it gives you a car so that you can go over the rivers. Then it gives you a plane that crashes that you can go in the water. You know, do you know what I mean? Look, but it never forces you to go back through an area that you've just been in.
Yeah, whereas it's like, imagine if you did the
forcing me.
Imagine if you did the Great Glacier, and they're like, okay, now you need to walk back through the Great Glacier.
You need to walk back through the Great Glacier to get to the ancient town or whatever it's called, where Aerith dies. It's just like, oh no, you bastards.
Yeah.
You gotta go through the map, you gotta put the flags down again. Don't do it to me, game. So. But yeah, it's slightly infuriating. Because like I say, we do this for crap to get the Valley of Corrupted Gravity, And then we do the next bit, and then we have to come back through the Corrupted Valley. Then we have to come back through the Barrens just to get to the town to sort of carry on the game. And it's just like, ah, man, the fucking Barrens again.
At least the Barrens is only like two screens, but yeah.
Well, if you're going that way, if you've got to go to the Flower Town, it's three screens.
That's a good point. Good point. Anyway, you basically...
I know it too well.
You try to reach... I think you're trying to reach the top of the valley. I don't even understand how it's put together, but it's like the top of the valley, the end of the valley. You get to the other side and you realize that there's a Virage there.
Yes. And it's just sleeping, minding its own business. And Sheena goes and bloody wakes the thing up.
Yeah, Shauna is still somehow attuned to these Virages. We're still not exactly sure why, but she can definitely, she can sense them. And then, so we fight the Virage. Do you have any problems with the Virage?
I don't think I did, to be honest with you.
This one had four parts.
Yes. I just went with the thing that I did last time, which was take out the arms first, but then I ignored the body and I took out the head. Because I think last time I said I made it very difficult for myself because I wanted to take out the body before the head, and then it just made the fight too long and I ran out of items and stuff.
Hmm.
So this one, I was like, I'm going to take its arms out and then I'm just going to take out the head. And I was kind of rolling with it really well. And then I got to the point where... He started doing some really bad damage to me, but I kind of eked it out this one, but so it wasn't terrible.
I had a bit of a different experience. I don't know if
I've just remembered one of his arms reformed and then did a can't combat. I think that was the first time I'd had a can't combat in the game.
So the Virage never attacked me. The Virage never attacked me. I sat there and I just kept attacking it, and then I killed it. And I'm like, was this a story battle? Was Shauna like holding it back? Like what? I never was attacked, and I was trying to figure out what just happened. I don't know if my game glitched or what, but yeah, I just slammed it and I killed it, and that was it.
Oh my god, I'm literally in shock.
I should look that up. Because I didn't know if that could happen. This is called the Void Virage, I guess.
Oh my god! Yeah. What?
Yep. What? Never attacked. I don't know. So I did not have a problem with this fight because I just kept attacking it. I don't know if it was. I don't know.
This was a long fight for me. And like I say, it was the first one where I'd had the can't combat thing, which was really annoying. Have you had any can't combats? Do you know what that is?
Yes, I did.
The instant death move in this game.
Yeah, I had some can't combats with the like flying robot things in the overworld.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah.
I'm very jealous.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Void Virage glitch. Never attacked. It's a thing.
Wow. Well done. You got a good glitch there.
Except maybe. I don't know.
Is it going to break your glitch? Game?
Maybe. Yeah, so I thought it was a story battle. I thought it was like explaining that Shauna was like controlling them and somehow and it wasn't attacking us and... I don't know.
Oh, so, no. This was a fairly long fight. Like so, but apart from a couple of can't combats, wasn't too tough.
Unless it's possible, and I don't know if it's possible, but Hashel has a fist that can stun. Is there a small chance that this Virage is not immune to the status effect stun, and I stunned it on the first turn? And then just wiped it.
Oh, I don't know, because he's got four parts. You'd have to stun every part, wouldn't you?
Well, I attacked the head first. I wonder if it. I don't know.
Because it all went independently. I think you did have a glitch.
Okay. Well, it's a good glitch. Finally, something works out for me.
Oh, you lucky bastard!
Yeah.
Oh, and then, yeah. Anyway. So after defeating the Virage and everyone being like, what's going on? Everyone basically sits around at the last screen of the corrupted gravity place and was just like...
Well, she doesn't Shauna absorb the Virage like energy or something at the end of the fight? Is like she...
Yeah, it seems like it. She does like... Because then... she did that before, didn't she? But with the giant snake in the cave.
Hmm. Yeah, we're still not sure what's going on with Shauna.
Yeah, Shauna is still proving very confusing. And considering she's going to be like the main part of the story at this stage, I feel like we're pretty odds on that her story is going to be the main part of the story.
Well, I have a spoiler at the end. I don't know if I should spoil it for you, but when we get to the very end, there's something that happens. So anyway.
No, you're gonna have to spoil it for me.
No, I'm going to make you go through the ghost ship. No, all right.
I'm still going to go through it.
No, I mean to find out. Anyway, we get to the... we cross into the town. I forgot what the name of the town is on the other side. The abandoned... It's the abandoned home of the giants, right?
Yeah, it's called the home of the Galactos or something. It's got a weird name.
Giantos, right?
Giantos.
Yeah, home of the Giantos. Yeah. Gigantos, whatever they are. Giganto. Home of the Giganto. That's right.
Who don't exist anymore.
There's some traps here. That you have to turn off. And there's a bit of story that happens here. So this is where you go in and I think this is where Hashel realizes. So this was hilarious. So they're talking about how they're going to get, you know, the head of the Gingrich gang. And Hashel goes, "Oh, do you mean that Gingrich?" I'm like, what do you mean that Gingrich? Like, it's the most common name in the world.
I was a bit like that as well. I was just like, oh, hang on, I might know this guy. It's just like, really? You didn't put six and six together? Be like, oh, the Gingrich gang. And, oh, I used to know someone called Gingrich really well. And he was a dick who I had to kick out of my school of fighting.
Yeah.
What's the chances he's become a bandit?
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking hell, Hershel. This is why Deesa's like not a big fan of the writing in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the characters are just idiots at points.
Yeah. So we look around and Hashel's like, oh, I need to think about this. And he sits down with I want to say Maeve, but that's not her name. What's the hammer
Maru.
Girl's name? Maru?
Maru?
Maru. And he's like, sorry about this. And he just like punch her in the gut or something so he can sneak away. So he's gonna
like punches her in the back of the head, doesn't he?
Yeah. So he wants to go.
Did you do the switch as well to turn off the arrows first?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a chest there with something in it. Bandit's ring? Fake shield? Was that the fake shield?
I think you get the bandit's ring as a drop. I think it was the fake shield, which I'm a bit confused as what that's for.
Yeah.
Or if it's needed or necessary.
But yeah. There's... So anyway, you run up to... So Hashel runs off to confront Gingrich on his own, and you find out that, oh, he was part of the school. There's a flashback, right, to his...
Did they have a flashback, after. Or did I just talk about it?
When was the flashback?
I don't remember there being a flashback.
Oh, there was a flashback, because Hashel's daughter killed someone. Did you get that part? When did that happen? Oh, that's after. What? Never mind. That's later. All right, hold on.
Say what?
So, anyway, he's like, so we find out, so we don't get the flashback yet, but we find out that Gingrich was part of his... you know, his dojo, and he had to be kicked out, and so you fight Gingrich.
Sorry,
this one didn't go so bad for me. I thought it went pretty well.
This went terrible for me. in the land of the Gigantos.
Yeah, you fight Gingrich and Mappy at the same time, right? And Mappy's like sort of he's the one who stole your dragoon charm.
Yes, and he keeps going like invisible for sections where you then can't attack him. But I had the issue here where I was Hershel, Dart, and Rose, and he managed to kill Rose, and then killed Dart right at the end of the battle, and I didn't have any angel prayers with me to resurrect anyone. So I ended up at the point where I defeated him, but I only had Herschel left. So him and all my B squad got all of the EXP.
Oh, all right.
And Dart and Rose got nothing. And then that happens again to me in a minute.
Okay.
I'll talk about that in a minute. So I actually found this fight quite difficult for some reason, but mostly just because of my own stupidity of not bringing any items with me. I'd gotten to the point where I was so comfortable with defending and using Rose's dragon ability to heal my team. But now the dragon ability does a lot of damage to the other enemies. It's normally doing like 200 to 300 damage, but it doesn't do much healing anymore. It's only like 70 healing, and like defending does more than that now because of how high level my HP is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm getting to the point now where I'm having to rely on items more.
So when you beat the battle, I think Ashel, every boss fight, there's like a finishing move that happens in this game. And at this one, after you beat Genrich, Ashel is the one who gets to deliver the finishing blow. And he gives this like sort of like fist to the gut or fist to the chest of Genrich. And he sort of blows him back across the screen into like a giant throne or something like that.
Yes.
But... I wrote this down, or I screen capped this because it was hilarious. Genrich is like, he's been defeated. And he's like, I'm glad to receive your fist. Master. Like, what? Again with the translation. Oh,
that was so good.
are we not doing phrasing anymore?
Phrasing. Well, that reminds me of, have you ever seen Fist of the North Star?
The game?
The movie? No, the game. There's two movies. There's an anime movie, and then there's a live action movie. And the live action movie was starring some like British kickboxer who was like the world kickboxing champion or something at the time, and he had like a slight wonky eye. And it also, did you ever watch Hook with Robin Williams?
Yes,
yes. The kid who played Rufio in Hook is also in the Fist of the North Star live-action movie.
Okay.
And he dies in it, and he says the exact same line when he's dying to the main character of, I wish I had a dad like you, with his final breath. And it was just like, when me and my friend saw that when we was like 18 or something, we just like, that became our thing. It was just like, oh my God, the kid who plays Rufio can only do that once. I wish I had a dad like you. It was just like, we'd play fighting games, and whenever you'd lose, you'd be like, I wish I had a friend like you. Oh, so funny. Anyway, enough of me reminiscing.
Yeah. This is where the statue collapses or something, right? The ceiling comes down?
Yeah. The whole thing starts to collapse and it's going to crush you. And Genrich is like, run! And everyone's like, oh, it's too late to run!
Albert, it's like, we're all going to...
Shits his pants, puts his hands over
his head. We're all going to stand around and scream, no! For like 10 minutes while the thing collapses.
I really wish it would have had like Albert sitting there with like his wet pants on the front of his trousers. It's like, oh, sorry, everybody. But, I mean, I slightly soiled myself.
But yeah, Kongol shows up and basically catches the statue or whatever from crushing you. So.
Yes, and I think Mappy's dead from the fight.
Yeah.
Thankfully, because Mappy was very annoying. And then, so what was his name? Kongol.
Kongol, yep.
Kongol has gone straight into the 18 Prost.
That's, well, really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He hits like a tank. And I think the first battle that I used him for, I realized like, oh, his problem is that he's really slow.
Super slow, yeah.
So I gave him the bandit's ring.
Okay.
Which increased his speed by 25%. And now he acts like a normal person. And then we've also got that item, which is speed up, which is a reusable item. And it speeds him up for 3 goes. So I can tank a boss pretty quickly with him at the beginning of like the boss fight. So yeah, he's actually replaced Rose now that she's become more ineffective with her dragon form, which is a big thing for me.
Okay.
Just what I wanted to say, I'm very pro Kongol. I'm currently doing Dart, Hashul, and Kongor as my main team.
Okay.
So I've gone from all scantily clad anime women to all butch men. Because we get a little too much of a person.
Yeah, we get some lore here about how it says the human. He says human kill Gigantos and take treasure. So apparently, I'm guessing the Gigantos had another one of those moon treasures that was taken.
Well, I think this was more like a genocidal thing. Like he's right, the last of the Gigantos, and the humans wiped him out in order to take whatever treasures they had. You're probably right, though. I didn't consider the fact that they might have had a moonstone. But then I also kind of just took it as the fact that he said humans killed him off. So I was thinking more like the Kingdom of Felts, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
But it could have been Lloyd. He's a bit of a dick. He does look human.
Then I wrote down...
Also, why called him Lloyd? It's just like... Just makes me think of Dumb and Dumber every time I hear that name.
Then I wrote down, Kongol wants a world where everyone is equal, but Rose disagrees and says it's kill or be killed.
No way, Kongol. Oh, by the way, have you... speaking of Rose, have you used her third dragon ability yet? Like her third magic?
Was that the one that says it's like instant death or something?
Yes.
I haven't used it. Yeah, I haven't used it.
Can I recommend at some point you get into a random battle and use that move?
Okay.
Rose's dragon magic is awesome. She always has these like really cool cinematics where like there's like her second one is like full Superman, where she like tracks them in like a piece of glass and then smashes the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one starts very interesting.
All right, I think I know where this is going, but I'll take a look.
The camera just zooms in between her legs, and then some black stuff falls out from between her legs, and it's just all like, right. I just watch it, and then we can talk about it on the next segment. But I was just like, I literally when I saw it, I was because I think one of the the spiders in the Valley of Corrupted Gravity, they do like an attack. They do like a defense thing where you can't attack them and you have to use magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was during one of those moments. I was like, oh, I'll try out Rose's new dragon thing that I got. And I watched it and was just like, oh my God, I've got too many words saying here. And I've now started to also notice what, again, I'm not using her now, but I did start to notice what Mike was saying about her astral... whatever drain. Her first bit of magic is, astral drain, yeah. He kept writing ass and then troll, like in the Discord. And I was thinking, why is he emphasizing the ass? And the more I've used it, the more I can now hear it. She does go, ass, it's troll drain. There's like a slight pause after she says the word ass. And like, because I've noticed there's some other like weird audio glitches when they're saying their moves. But yeah, this one is just like, she does go, ass, troll drain. It's just like, oh my God, I can now hear it. So yeah, I'm sorry, Rose. You've gone from being like my favorite Dragoon, so I can't really use you anymore. Anyway, yeah, so Kongol joins the team, and you have to go downstairs and find your dragon spirit in the trash, along with Lin.
Yep.
Who's behind a door that Meru can't open.
Yes.
And Albert goes, sometimes you just got to use your brain.
Let's open the lock instead of trying to smash it down.
You dumb child.
Silly girl. We learn.
Sexism.
Are you ready for this, Bill? We learn that the princess was switched.
Oh, what a surprise. Never saw that coming. Like, how did they do that? How did no one else fucking notice?
Ugh.
Oh. Right, anyway. So before we go back to Felts, there's a secret scene here, which I missed. After last week being like, I'm going to do all the secret scenes. You can, after rescuing Lin, you can go back to Donu and you'll be able to see a wedding between Lin and Kate the Barrens. They have a wedding scene in the Barrens.
Okay. See, I thought it would happen after the castle part, and so I went back after the castle part, but it was not, I didn't get to see it, obviously, because
yep.
it had already
missing
happened.
missed it. Same here. I went straight back to the castle because I was kind of in a rush. I didn't even think about going back to Donno. And then afterwards, I was looking at my list of missable cutscenes. I was like, oh, bugger.
There's I just wrote down Hashel decides he's going to bury Gedrich though before you leave.
Oh yeah, so. he goes full Cloud Strife, carries him like Aerith.
Yeah.
takes him off screen, does God knows what to him, and then comes back.
Did you go back to Lohan after this?
I did. Because I'd read about the missing scenes. I'd seen that there was a scene where it said, like, once you get Kongol, go to Lohan to get his dragon spirit.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, I'm going straight back to this. So as soon as he joined the team, I was like, I know where I'm going.
Yeah, there's the hint for that is that you talked to someone in, I forgot if it was in the, which town it was. It was either Donno or, I already forgot the name of the castle town, but.
Feltz.
One of the people there is like, wow, did you get that pretty gem in Lohan? I heard they have them there. It's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I should get another one.
Yeah, I spoke to her. I did not get that hint.
Okay.
probably helped that I already knew that I had to do it. But yeah, no, I did not get that hint at all. And also, Frost, like, I know I didn't finish this segment, but I did take the time to go back to Fault 52 or whatever it was called. I got the one bit of Stardust that I was missing, and then I went back into the marshland and I got that item that you spoke about, the one that freezes people.
The magic signet stone.
Yes. Are you still using that?
Yeah. And it helps when you need to heal, like when you want to use the random encounters to heal.
Yeah, not in a boss battle. First time I used it was in a boss battle and that didn't go well for me. Oh, yes. Fun times. So yeah, after a little bit of side questing, I did go back to Basil as well to speak to Lavitz's mum, but it didn't really do much, to be honest. I think
no,
I missed what
I went
was
back
there. And there were some people living in her house.
Yeah.
I was just like, what? I think I vaguely remember Lavitz meeting them on like a path somewhere. Being like, go stay at my place. And then like they've now just moved in now that he's dead.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Anyway, you go back to Feltz and there's a celebration happening because it is Princess Emile's 20th birthday.
Yeah, I was a bit like, why is this banging noise a signaling of celebration? And I sort of realized, oh, it must be like cannon fire or something.
Or fireworks or something, yeah.
Yeah, I was so confused. I was like, what?
And then we have the stealth mechanic.
Yes, it goes full. I mean... This, like, surpasses Metal Gear Solid. This is, like, grade A, perfect stealth mechanics. Of course, I'm just talking absolute bullshit. This was the worst.
This was pretty bad.
Oh, it was awful. And the worst thing is I had to do this twice.
You had to do it twice?
I had to do it twice. I may have died against the boss.
Oh.
Due to my own foolishness, mostly.
Well, I died to the boss, but you didn't save before you went, because you have to do all the stealth mechanics to get the two princesses, and then you can save before you fight Linus. Did you not save?
I did not.
Okay.
I was very foolish. Again, kind of part of the thing was because I was trying to rush, and so like, despite me trying to rush and still doing the extra bit of side questing, mainly because I wanted to get the extra dragon spirit. For Kratos, whatever his name is, Kongol. I wanted to get the dragon spirit for Kongol. So I was kind of rushing. So I did the whole thing, and there was at least it was semi kind, because there was one that I particularly struggled with, which was on the way back from getting Princess Lisa. When you have to hide in the thing, and then there's the guy walk. There's like you've got two guys walking back and forth in opposite directions, but they're not in sync. So you have to wait for like the perfect sync to get enough time to get around. I failed it three times, and then on the fourth time, the guy who was like in the middle wasn't walking about anymore. He was just like turning left and right. So if you did keep messing it up, the game did make it easier for you.
Yeah, because if you got the first princess, then it was like, go back to your room. And so you kind of start you midway. And then you had to get the second. But turns out Princess Emile was like in a interdimensional pocket space inside a mirror.
I think this is the same space that you go to as Lynx in Chrono Cross.
Oh, God. The Escher, not the Escher painting, the Manet or whatever it is.
It was Escher, wasn't it?
Did
they do Escher as well? Oh, no, there was an Escher segment. Yeah.
Yes, there was.
I think the first one, I think the first painting was Monet. Beautiful watercolor style.
and then you end up in an Escher painting at some point. Yes.
Oh, God, that game. But yeah, you're kind of in this weird thing where there's all these like stars on the wall and there's two platforms, Princess Emile's on the other side, and they're like, how are we going to get across? And it's like, Dart just walks up, pushes the thing, and it'll go over. But it, like, when you touch the picture, it teleports you in because Herschel and Meru are on the other side going, where is everybody? You're like, we're on the painting.
It's like, don't leave Herschel and Meru together alone. It's like,
oh. He's just going to punch you in the back of the head again. She's 16. Save her. He's beating up a child.
I found out here. So eventually once you get the princess back, and if you end up getting caught by the guards, and they're like, oh shoot, that's the real princess. They leave. All the guards leave.
Yeah, I like that.
And at that point, it turns out you can actually leave the castle. You can leave Feltz. You just leave if you want to. There's nothing stopping you. I thought it was going to stop me from leaving the castle area for continuity's sake. But nope, I was able to leave. I grinded a little bit because I died the first couple of times I tried the boss fight. I had to go buy items. So it was nice that I was able to leave here before this fight.
Hey, I didn't realize you could. Yeah. I mean, I left the castle on my second time. Mm-hmm. for reasons.
I needed breezes. I bought like 10 healing breezes because I really needed them for this fight.
Let's talk about the fight before we talk about how we did.
Okay, so it turns out the princess is actually someone called Linus.
Yes.
Who is a Wingly. Because she has a jetpack. I don't know. That's what it was. What's that thing on her back? And it's like, it looks like a jetpack to me, but I don't know.
I was thinking that. I was thinking, oh, look, she's got a cool jetpack. And then they're like, oh, no, she must be a Wingly. It's just like, really? I think we look more like Winglies in our dragoon form. Maybe that's what this is going to twist around this, is that the dragoons are actually the last of the Winglies. who knows? But yeah, she's very mysterious. We don't know anything about her. And she's got the moon dagger. And yeah, we have to fight her, but she's got like really powerful magic and like mostly ice magic. But I think she was actually a water boss.
Yeah, she's a water boss. And also she doesn't have turns. She just gets to go whenever she wants. I don't know. She's like a speed of 1,000. She would just take like 2-3 turns at a time when I was fighting her. And it was very
And who's very rough. Who's in your team?
So I think I ended up with my regular team, which was did I do Rose, Herschel, and I might have swapped Herschel for Albert because of the water thunder combination. I think Herschel was taking extra damage, so I don't remember if I ended up with Albert or Herschel, but I'm pretty sure I had Rose and Dart.
Oh my god, Kongle, right? One of her moves that hit the whole team would do like 650 plus damage to Kongle.
Oh, jeez.
And I was just like, oh, that is so brutal. But again, he's got such high health. He's like already in the 1500s. And so I went into this fight first time. I had no angel prayers and I had no healing breezes. I had no healing potions. I had nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I walked into this fight with like my hands tied behind my back. I tried really hard and I managed to get her into the red. I was really proud that I got her into the red, and that it just, she, when she finally killed, she killed off Dart when she was in the yellow, then she killed off Kongle, And then with Hashel, I was just desperately trying to get like the final blows in.
Yeah.
And then I went out. So I had to do the whole thing again. I died. I had to go do the whole... I'd only saved before doing all the sneaking missions. So I had to do all the thing with getting Princess Emil back. And then once I got her back, I saved. And then I left the castle and went and bought a ton of angel prayers and healing breezes. Mm-hmm. And then I did this fight. And then I don't know what it was, because like Dart's only got like 900 points, and I was just like, I was keeping all of my characters above 600 HP, thinking like, especially Kongle. If Kongle went below 700, my next move was always a healing breeze. And I think I only bought healing breezes. I forgot on my way out to buy angel prayers, and then she one-shotted Dart with something. Like, I was only half paying attention. I didn't see which move she used, but it did like 700 damage on him, and he died instantly.
Hmm.
And I was just like, oh, I haven't got any angel things. So I was like, okay, no worries. And then she had, again, like you say, she just seems to have moves when she wants. She did the 600 plus damage one twice in a row and killed off Kongle. And I was just like, oh, fucking great. But then this time Herschel actually got the last punch in. And so that's two boss fights in a row where Herschel was the only one alive at the end. And like everyone else just like leveled up twice after this fight.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh man, like Dart's getting really squishy. he's lost like basically three chances, like three level ups now. So I'm just like, I'm not going to grind this up.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a similar thing where it was just a trick. I found out that your normal attacks seem to do the most damage. So I just went with all physical attacks.
Oh no, Dart's magic was really good.
It was, but I still was doing more damage with regular attacks. So maybe it's because I had a power wrist equip.
No, not Dart's. Not his dragon his attacks. His dragon magic. I used the fire explosion one. It was doing like not the second. The second one only hits all enemies, so it has like a 25%. No, I haven't got the third one.
Oh, the third one does like it does a lot more.
Oh, no, yeah, I only had the first one, which was doing, like, 300 damage compared to Dart doing, like, 120 with a normal attack. Oh. Kongle was doing, like, 200 if I could land his, thingy. But also, Kongle, if I turned him into his Dragoon form, he would do 600 damage.
Okay.
Just with his attack. His golden Dragoon thing is awesome.
Okay.
I've noticed as well, because I've got the animations on short, the first time you do a Dragoon transformation for any character, it does the long one.
Yes.
And then everyone after that is short. So I'm pretty pleased that the game's done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, other than that, it was sort of like, I would just be like, attack, attack, and then healing breeze. Attack, attack, healing breeze. Like, that was most of my... If anyone was below anywhere near 50% health, I'd throw up a healing breeze just to top everyone back off. So... I just liberally used the items for this one because it was pretty rough.
I did try that. It didn't work out well for me though. I'm still fuming. She one-shotted Dart. It's just like, oh
yeah.
How could you do this to me?
I think that happened in one of them, and I was just like, reload. Yep. It's like, I'm not doing this.
I was just like, oh, I can't. I can't reload him.
So anyway, after the fight, Linus is trapped. You think, where you're like, oh, she's stuck here. There's nothing but a long drop down to the sea. Give us the moon dagger.
This whole scene, I was just like, oh, she's got a jetpack on. this is so obvious what's going to happen.
And she flies.
Everyone can see it apart from you bastards.
So she flies away to the east, west, to the west.
Yep. And that's the end of the segment.
That is not the end of the segment. All right, so
easy and stupid.
Oh, so the king's like, okay, you can go after them. I'll let you onto my ship called the Queen Fury because you need to go to the land to the west, Mesa Milisilu, Milisilu. I don't know.
I've got it's like no some other idea.
Kingdom. So yeah. there's a kingdom across the sea.
Called, off into the next place.
Yeah, Milisilu. And so you get on the Queen Fury, and it takes you across. And this is sort of a downbeat section where you're basically...
Just before we do that, because I discovered something quite cool here, right?
Okay.
So the king had said to us, like, yep, you can go on my Queen Fury boat, and it will take you to your next destination. And I was just like, oh, brilliant. We're going to get to go on the Queen's Fury. I'm going to get to the Phantom Ship. This is going to be nice and quick. I then spent the next half an hour running around the town of Feltz thinking, where the fuck is this ship?
If you look at the map, it is a landlocked town.
I know, but I was just like, I was also thinking, no, but there is a bit of water just sort of like below it, I think, and there's a river running through
there's
it.
There's a so river,
I was like,
yeah.
I was just like, there's nowhere for the boat here. Where's this guy's boat? And it's just like, no one said to me, it's in Donu. And I was just like, but I did discover something cool, because I kind of got to the point where it's like, it's definitely not in this town. So it must be outside somewhere. So I thought I'll go out onto the map and maybe there's like a new dotted line leading to a port or some shit. And there wasn't. And so I opened up I zoomed out on the map and then I zoomed out again to get the wide out view. And when you do that, there's a blue marker telling you where to go next.
Oh.
I did not know that was a thing.
So that's like, on if you zoom all the way out on the map.
Yeah, so you have to use L2 to zoom out and R2 to zoom in or something, yeah. Which is very difficult. I don't know if you've ever used the L2 and R2 touch screen things on the Vita.
No, I haven't.
They're not very sensitive. You just find yourself sort of like randomly tapping the back of the Vita until something happens. But yeah, I kind of zoomed out to sort of see what was around. And I was just like, there was a blue dot above Donu. And I was just like, ah, interesting. Now if I don't know where to go, I can just use this. So yeah, that was kind of cool. But yeah, no bastard told me I had to go to Donu to get on the Queen's Fury.
I wasted half an hour of my life. And I was like, well, Donu's on the sea. Probably should go there.
don't use your logic on me. What did you think of the design of the Queen Fury? Because when I got to the port bit in Donu, I was a bit like, what the fuck is this thing?
It kind of, yeah, I don't know. It's, I'm not sure. I got to look at it again because it was...
It was just while it was docked and you had to talk to the weird pirate guy, or to the captain guy, and be like, hey, hello. I was looking at the design of it, and there's like this huge like metal bridge coming out onto the dock.
Right, yeah, I'm looking at the screenshot now, and it kind of looks like it's almost like a battleship, but it has...
It does. I don't know.
Or no, it looks like a tugboat. A tugboat? Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it just looked like someone had just sort of picked up like half a building that they haven't finished and put it in the water. It's just like, what is this boat? And yeah, when you're on the boat, man, it rocks a lot.
Yes.
they really went full out on the rocking camera mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, okay. But yeah, okay. So yeah, this, like you said, this is a bit of a downtime segment.
Yes. So you end up basically you start with Shauna. And essentially what you're going to do is you're going to take a turn with each character that you have in your party, and you'll go and find someone to talk to. And so there's set cutscene conversations that you have. So like Shauna wants to talk to Dart because Shauna's like, I really want to talk to Dart. And then Dart's like, I don't have time to talk to you. I'm like, I'll talk to you later.
She has a full conversation with him about what are we going to do after this, Dart? Because I just want to be with you. And he's just like, but what about my thing that I want to do?
Yeah, what about the black monster?
She's just like, oh, Dart. She runs off downstairs. And it's just so, like, oh, Dart, you moron.
Yeah, I didn't take a lot of notes here, but one of them is this. So then Dart talks to Rose, and you talk about the black monster. And then Rose talks to Heschel.
Oh, is that who I've got to talk to next? I'm literally as Rose right now.
I think it's like Rose talks to Heschel. Heschel talks to
Meru.
Kongle talks to Albert. And then Albert talks to Meru. And then Meru goes back to Dart or Rose or someone like that.
I haven't even found Albert on the boat yet.
So yeah, you basically have to walk around the boat. And there's some stardust in there too, I think. I think I found some while I was looking around.
I'll say now, just because this is where I've got to in the game, I'm at 18 hours and 51 minutes, and I have 32 Stardust.
Okay, I have 9.
I got another ring off of the lady when I got to 30, which increased my SP gains by 50%.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
SP, yeah, SP is what you earn when you sort of land additions. Mm-hmm. And that is what, that's what levels up your Dragoon level.
Yes.
So that you get more magic abilities with your Dragoon. So, yeah, very, very handy. Oh, I put that on, although I put that on Herschel, which again hurt my kind of, because I was thinking, oh, I need to get a Herschel's dragon mechanic up a little bit. But then it made him less effective in the battle against
Right, you need to take that stuff off when you're going to fight a boss because you want.
Yeah, it's just like, just for random battles. This will be fine. Yeah.
Anyway, the only bit, so there's a lot of talking and there's some quote-unquote character development that goes on here. There's only one thing that I wrote down, though, and that's you find out why Herschel is looking for his daughter.
Oh. Okay, go on. Because I'm just about to talk to Herschel, so just, you might as well just
turns,
tell me.
And I think this is correct, because I all right. But he says that basically he was training his daughter in the ways of the, I forgot what the name of their dojo was or their... their moves.
The Rouge School of Fighting.
The Rouge School of Fighting. So he's training his daughter. I don't know. Everything's a color.
It's the Moulin Rouge.
And apparently, his daughter, she was like sparring with another person. I don't know if it's a female or male. I don't know. It was whatever.
Probably Gerich.
But she freaking killed her when they were training. His daughter like killed someone. And I think I wrote down, and Herschel's daughter killed a bitch, is what I wrote down. and he's like, get out of here. What are you kidding? Or he's like, you have to control your anger when you're fired, something like that. And then she ran away. So I think that's why he's looking for his daughter, is because he basically like flipped out when she killed someone. Or I don't know if they died or were seriously injured. I have to go back and look. But yeah, that's why Herschel's looking for his daughter, because she did that.
Wow.
And then next week you'll tell me that's not what happened. But anyway, that's what I think that's what happened. That's all I wrote.
I don't know. The sort of the guide that I follow, just to remind me of what happens, just says you'll locate Herschel. He's on deck. Herschel will have a painful flashback that concerns his daughter. But that's it. I don't know any more than that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Legend of Dragoon wiki, and it says his daughter Claire ran away 25 years before the start of the game for either seriously injuring or killing her training partner. So it is ambiguous.
Okay.
Yeah.
But for the sake of the podcast, it's now canon that she killed him.
She killed him, yeah.
Cool. And then what happens? Phantom ship turns up?
And then you're kind of sailing along, and all of a sudden the ghost ship crashes into your boat. Ooh, and cool. You basically have to figure out a way to, they're like, oh, the engines are damaged, we need, so the engines get damaged, and they're like, okay, we need time to fix the engines. And it was at Meru, I think it's Meru, and
I don't remember, I haven't played this bit, so.
I know, I'm trying to remember. One of them's like, hey, there's a ghost ship here, we should probably investigate. And I'm like, no, why don't we just wait on our boat, like, why don't we just do that and not go through the ghost ship? But of course, we have to investigate the ghost ship. So
it's an RPG. You have to go in the ghost ship.
Oh my gosh! I just did a ghost ship in Tales. There's always a ghost ship. Don't play Phantom Hourglass. Legend of Zelda: Phantom Hourglass is all about ghost ships. It's just brutal. Anyway, so you find out some stuff about everything going on in this ghost ship. So there's a lot of lore here. There's a lot of story here. Basically, you go through the ship. Now, there are no, I'll tell you, there are no random encounters.
I don't know.
On the ghost ship.
Oh, and yet I should fly through this quite quick.
And yet, the encounter rate is extremely high. Oh, makes sense of that. So,
what?
Yes. So, basically, yeah. So, basically, on the ghost ship, there are these floating ghosts on the screen. And if you walk into one, you have to fight a ghost. You have to fight a ghost encounter. The problem is there's like 1,000 of them, and they respawn when you leave a screen. So I was successful sometimes in avoiding them, but because of the weird PS1 isometric grid you're walking on,
I mean, you've said as well that your controls are a bit.
It's very difficult for me to walk versus run. So I ran into them a lot. So, and I think we'll hear from Disa at the end of the feedback here about the number of encounters in this ghost ship. So, I fought a lot in here. It took a long time to do the ghost ship. But eventually you work your way through there. The encounters aren't particularly difficult. They kind of weigh on you mentally because you're just like, oh, I have to do this again. You can just hop back off the ghost ship and rest on the main ship, on the queen, whatever, Queen's Fury. Oh, okay. So you can rest at any time. So you don't get stuck or anything like that. But it's a lot of back and forth. So it's basically what you're going to do is you're going to go in and you're going to follow a ghost in a top hat. And you're like, hey, what's that? And then you follow it to a room and there's a chest and you open the chest and you have a little mini encounter. And then it floats off to another room, and then you go to the next room, and there's a chest, and you open the chest, and you have the mini encounter, and then you try to figure out where the ghost. So the ghost is kind of moving all over the ship, until eventually you kind of get it cornered, and then you have sort of like the final fight from the ship.
Right. Sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad just because of the entire just the number of encounters is bad. There's also a chest puzzle where you can, if you go into a room, there's a chest that's locked and it is a 3-digit combination.
Okay.
And if you go all the way to the other side of the ship, these ghosts will talk to you and they'll tell you they'll tell you four numbers. Okay. And so you go back to the chest and you have 10 chances to guess the combination and you have four of the numbers. So you should be able to get it within the 10 chances. Does that make sense?
Sorry. So you get four numbers, but how many numbers are there?
There are three in the code, but you have four. So if they give you like 1, 2, 3, 4, you guess 1, 2, 3. No. 2, 3, 4. No. 1, 2, 4. Like kind of.
Oh, right? That's harsh.
Oh, well, but wait, there's more because you can do this 6 times. Huh? 6 times. So if you open the chest, it resets. Okay.
Right. You have to leave the ship.
You don't have to leave the ship, but you do have to walk back because the code changes. You have to walk back to the other end of the ship through all these ghost encounters to get the new set of numbers. If you run out of chances, you have to fight some skeletons and it resets the numbers. So basically, you run out of chances. You're like, all right, I got to do it over. I got to walk all the way to the other side of the ship, get the four new numbers, come back, and try it again. Okay? There are items that you get for doing this. So it goes from like a stun guard to a panic guard to something called the Magic Ego Bell, which maybe I should probably get, but it's too late now. And anyway, the issue, the main issue is that the number of chances you're allowed decreases by 2 every time you get an item. So the first item, you have 10 chances. The second item, you have 8, then 6, then 4. And then finally, for the best item, you only have 2 chances to basically guess between 4 numbers what the 3 numbers are going to be. And if you don't get it right, you fight the skeletons. You got to walk all the way back down to the other side and come all the way back.
Oh, my God. And the items, I'm reading what the items are. It's like if you get it in 10 tries, you get a panic guard. If you get it in 9 tries, you get a stun guard, which these are crap. There's a magic ego bell.
Yeah, so I don't know what that is. Be one of those reusable items. But the best item you can get is the ultimate war god, which you can buy for 10,000, right?
But it also says, because it says if you get it in 2 tries, you get the ultimate war god. But it also says in 2 tries, you'll get 100 gil.
Well, no, so this is.
So if you do it again.
Yeah, so just let me clarify. That's not the number of tries the first time you show up. You have to get the stun guard, then you have to get the panic guard, then you have to get the ego bell. You have to do this 5 times to get the ultimate war god. I don't know who would go back for the 6th, but and it's I thought it was pretty
so
much...
So it's not just like if you did it the first time and you got it in two tries the first time.
No, you would get the Stun Guard.
You'd get the Ultimate War God.
No, you get the Stun Guard.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's brutal and not worth it at all.
I mean, the Ultimate War God is like... Is the god item in this game, isn't it?
That does the additions for you.
It does the additions for you, but it does it with full SP gains.
Yes.
Whereas there's like another war god, which I've got, like a war god sash, I think I've got, which does all the additions, but you get like half damage and half SP gains.
Yeah, but the issue is that you don't accrue... I bought one because I was like, all right, I'm going to grind my additions, and you don't get addition levels if you use it. So not only do you do half damage,
I think you do with the ultimate war god though.
You do with the ultimate, yes. So if you wanted to grind and you had the money, you should buy the ultimate. I heard one of the last editions is really tricky, and that people recommend if you want to grind it, you should just pay for the ultimate war god. But we'll see. Anyway, at the end of the ship, there is a ghost commander who you have to defeat with some ghost knights. So I didn't really have any trouble with that.
Oh, that's good to hear.
All right. And now now here's the huge story drop that happens at the end of this section. Okay. So it turns out this ship was carrying the princess of Milisilu or whatever that was when she was just a baby. Okay. And the ship was attacked by the black monster. And that's why everyone's dead. Okay?
Okay.
And there's a picture, it's a painting, of the baby.
Oh, is it Sheena?
It looks just like Shauna. Yep.
Hey!
So now we're like, why does Shauna look like the princess of Milisilu?
It's so strange.
So now we have like, okay, what's going on here with Shauna? Is she actually a princess? Is she the lost princess? The ghost of her nanny shows up, but disappears. It's very, yeah. So there's a big story dump there. And then what happens is after you've defeated the commander, they're like, oh, we can finally rest, blah, 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 blah. Because the command, all the ghosts are like, oh, the princess survived. They're like, they're talking to Shauna. They're like, you're clearly the princess. And so then they're like, all right, we could rest now. And all of a sudden the ghost ship starts shaking and you're like, we have to get out of here now. And so everyone's sort of running for the Queen Fury. And it turns out that Dart doesn't make it. He slips. And then Rose dives after him, but they both tumble into the sea. So you've been separated with just Rose and Dart.
Oh, okay.
After that, there's some cutscenes before you're allowed to save. But if you want, we can pick it up with the cutscenes next time because you don't really do anything.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you end up in a fishing village and you talk to. There's actually a full blown FMV that happens here. So we'll talk about that next time.
Cool.
All right.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like I've got like a whole segment of Phantom Ship to get through.
Yeah. it's depending on how you do running around the ghost things in the map screen, it could take a while.
Okay, I'll just try and get to the end as quickly as possible. see what happens.
All right,
with my low level dart run that I'm doing.
Dart is always dead run.
Oh my god,
should we do some feedback?
Stop. yeah let's do the feedback. It's from people who actually beat the game or beat the segment.
I'll start with Caslo. Alright, so Caslo 25 says, wow, boss fights are really picking up. Both the fight against Hashel's pupil and the fake princess were mighty tough. Really, I think the part I liked the least was the ghost ship, primarily because of trying to use Shauna. She's like four levels behind Dart because of being out of the party for a bit of the early game, and I feel it really bad now. So she was like a rag doll, and the game was not really giving enough EXP to help her catch up. But I need to start putting in the work for it now. Interesting. Also, I decided to rewind cheese the chest game on the ghost ship because I really wanted that fifth reward, which is an accessory that auto completes additions with no negative damage or SP. So it would be nice for grinding additions when I need to, like the current addition I'm doing with Lavitz, Rod Typhoon. Also, wow to the ending of this after the ghost ship. We get a great look at the dragoons of the past and leaves us with a cliffhanger for next time. So that's the FMV that we're going to see.
Cool. Okay. All right. I'll look forward to that then. So Mike, a.k.a. Bill Has a Hairy Bum. I don't know why he's got that for his handle. plot-wise, this bit is all fine. I didn't get the ultimate war god, and now I'm at the end of parts of the game like, well, that would have been useful. Oh, now he's at the end of the game. Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting Mike's, like, he's played up to, like, the end of disc three or something, and he's waiting for us to catch up. So Mike's ahead of us, so he's trying to remember what he did. its variant of this game is... What? It's valiant of this game to repeatedly try and make Shana matter. It's a segment which moves everything on a bit, but has a second arc syndrome. We had a big victory of sorts, and now we're just kind of in another build-up. Really, the best bit is the Dragon Campaign FMV. That is brilliant. Even if you aren't playing along with this, go look it up. It's brilliant.
So
I don't think
that.
I've seen that yet.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
He had a question, which is, how do these characters sound in your head?
Well, Hashul sounds like Master Roshi now, unfortunately.
Okay, I think I still Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, you mentioned Master Roshi the other week, and then it's like, that's it now. It's just stuck in my head. That's who he'll be forever.
Is it weird that when I do text-based JRPGs, I don't give them voices?
They're just like... I don't often give them voices. I sometimes give them voices. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't really got too many other accents for them, I think. Who did he say? He said, guess someone. He gave Meru a Scouse accent. Oh, now I'm going to think of Meru as being like Kuna.
Oh, no. Meru doesn't fucking care what Dart thinks.
Brilliant.
Oh, gosh. All right. And finally, we have Disa, who got this in today, which was good. Ghost ship, she writes. I think that might have taken me 5 hours. Incredibly annoying. The writing is still a mess, or localization more likely. I don't expect Shakespeare in any game, but a little better would be great. I don't really feel like I care a lot about the characters and what they're going through because of all their pointless jabbering. apart from that, it's fine. Combat and hitting additions are easy now. The game stands in a bit of contrast to how incredible Golden Sun is. Playing them side by side shows the faults of the PS1 era more starkly than otherwise. Hoping for exciting dungeons and areas in the next segment, less city time would be great.
I agree. So, I spent way too much of this segment running around this bloody
is a
cities.
Lot, yeah, this is a
especially
lot
not
of,
when I'm where I've got to go.
A lot of, hey, talk to someone, talk to someone, talk to someone. Oh, it's going to be nighttime. We're going to talk to someone. Go find the astronomer. And I like that bit there, like a little bit, but it would just seem like there was a lot of it. There's a lot of it. Between that and the Queen's Fury. So. Yeah. Anything else you want to mention about this segment that you almost finished?
Almost finished. I'm still overall enjoying the game, and yeah, it's good fun. That's about it, really. I haven't got much else to say about it.
And that silence is me being stunned. No. All right. So next time, what are we doing next time?
Let's see. Next time. So hang on. Let me see. Because our schedule's gone a bit screwed up.
Well, for the club, we need to find Miranda. Miranda joins the party by March 24th.
Yes. And then also, but next time on the show should be the Golden Sun segment one.
It should be. if Bill finishes.
I'm sure we'll I will. There'll be no problems.
All right. I'm looking forward to talking about Golden Sun. It's definitely fun.
fun. Oh, and Frost.
Yep. So, yeah, I guess we'll... Yeah, plug the Patreon. Yeah. We have a Patreon where you can hear... Now you can hear me and Bill jabber like so many Legend of Dragoon NPCs before the podcast. And you can also help vote for the RPG Club, which again, we're doing Golden Sun, but the next one's going to be I guess it's a couple months, right? We're doing six weeks. Probably sometime.
Every 3 weeks we're doing Golden Sun. So.
Yeah. So after that, we'll have another vote. We'll do another game. Well, I'll try to keep Bill on schedule as best I can.
I'm trying. I mean, I'm doing far better this year than I have in any other year.
Yeah. And eventually we'll review Disco Elysium.
Eventually, yep. Yeah. We'll finish the Disco Elysium Club. We'll review it. We've got Seventh Saga to review as well.
Yes.
And finishing up the FF12 reviews.
Yes.
Which at least is underway. We've recorded at least half of it. Yep. So progress is being made. Frost is doing a brilliant job of keeping me... in line.
Yeah.
Way better than Rich and Scott ever did. So,
well, Scott just did it himself. He just
Yeah. And I had to push Rich.
Oh gosh.
So
who now somehow has his own podcast, which
now he's got two now. He's got two guys and a beard or something, and he's now started the Final Fantasy show. Where he's going for every Final Fantasy game.
Where have I heard that before?
I don't know. I wouldn't bother. I've already reviewed Final Fantasy 1. I'm not doing it again.
All right. Where can we find Bill?
You can find me. You know, just come to the Discord. I can plug the Twitter as much as possible. I haven't checked it for like 3 months. So apologies if you reached out to us on Twitter and I've ignored you. But that's just who I am.
Yeah. So we have a Discord. Link is in the show notes. That's what Eric always says at the end of Super Switch Club. Do we have a link in the show notes?
Yes, we do. There is a Discord link in the show notes. It's the easiest place to come and find us, or our pinned tweet on Twitter. It's pinned, so I don't have to think about it, or X, or whatever you want to call it. Fun times.
All right. So, I'm looking forward to hopefully talking about Golden Sun next week, Bill.
Yep, so am I. Right. I'm going to tell you all about the first 2 minutes of the game.
God.
It'll be fun. I'm sure it'll be fun.
Peace out. All right. I've been Frost.
I've been Bill. And we'll see you all next week, everybody.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
@ Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.